An Invitation to the Ushaya's Teaching, presented by Teachers of Ascension and Monks of the Ushaya Order.
Hello, and welcome to this introductory talk on the Ushaya's teaching, now known as Ascension. This will be an introduction to the teaching, which is only taught in person. No formal techniques will be given here. We will, however, discuss many useful topics, such as the keys to mental and physical health, how to find the answers to those eternal questions, how to rise beyond limitations and addictive behavior patterns, how to activate more of your DNA, how to experience more love and joy in your life, the power of thoughts, the natural state of the universe, how we can reduce stress by flowing with that natural state, and how to fulfill the purpose of human life here on Earth. If any of these topics interest you, keep listening. What this teaching has to offer you is far more than any words can express. So, who are the Ushayas? The Ushayas are an ancient group of enlightened monks. Since the inception of time, they have been gently guiding the evolution of humanity, preparing us for this time, the dawn of the third millennium. Ushaya is a Sanskrit word which means for Isha. Isha stands for a higher state of consciousness. Some call it Christ consciousness. Some call it self-realization. Some call it enlightenment. What we call it is not important. It is the experience that counts, and that is the focus of the Ushaya's teaching. So very simply, the Ushayas are for this higher state of consciousness. For enlightenment, for realizing it in themselves, and also for providing a roadmap and guidance so the rest of humanity can do the same, if they so choose. The Ushaya tradition is not a belief system. It's not a new religion or an old religion. The Ushayas are interested in teaching people how to permanently realize higher states of consciousness. This does not require belief or rules about what you can or cannot do. It is, however, completely based on your experience. Enlightenment is not a mystical or mood-making experience. On the contrary, it is a very real state of being and is objectively measurable with today's technology. This will be revealed later. All the teachers of Ascension, currently just over 108, are also Ushaya monks, which means that they have dedicated their lives to healing themselves by reaching this higher state of consciousness, and to healing the world by sharing this knowledge with others. I don't know of anyone who has gained full enlightenment from a book, video, or audio tape. The knowledge and experience of enlightenment has traditionally only been passed on through personal instruction. After listening, if you are interested in learning the Ushaya's Ascension techniques, the information on how to contact us will be provided. There will be 7 speakers on this tape. Our names are not important at this point, for we are not a guru-driven movement. The Ushaya's teaching stands on its own. We are not focused on one teacher or a group of teachers. Growth can be had at any level of evolution. We are all dedicated to doing whatever it takes to bring more joy, love, and compassion into ourselves and into the world. We love what we do, and we live to share this experience with everyone. If you don't understand or believe any of this, that's perfect. You don't have to believe any of it in order to learn and benefit from ascension. In fact, we prefer that you don't believe anything until you experience it. That's what this teaching is all about. Experience. We will talk about a lot of interesting things in the next 30 minutes, and I hope you will walk away with something useful for your life. Ultimately, it is only talk, just more information to entertain the mind. To truly understand the Ishaya's teaching, you will have to experience it for yourself. Whether you are interested in enlightenment, desire stress reduction, or simply want to experience more joy, you have been waiting for this teaching for your entire life. For now, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of the tape.
What is ascension? Again, please do not believe anything we say here. This is a teaching based on experience, your experience. No amount of words can do it justice. Experience it yourself, then decide if what we say here is the truth. The Ishaya's ascension is a series of natural and effortless techniques to expand the mind and heart permanently. We call this procedure ascension. Ascension is not a belief system. It's not a new set of rules to govern your life by. It is a series of mechanical techniques to ascend, which simply means to rise beyond the limiting beliefs and behavior patterns that are blocking us from realizing our full potential. Simply put, ascension provides a means to achieve the goal of human life on this planet. What is this goal? Why don't you tell me? Think about it. What do you want? If your answer is something like $1 million, the perfect job, or the perfect mate, go a little deeper. What you really want is what you think those things will give you. For example, you may think that having lots of money will make you happy, or that if you find the perfect mate, you can then experience love. Underneath this, what you really want is not the money or the mate. What you really want is the happiness, the love. You're only guessing that having money or this other perfect person will fulfill these desires. Time and time again, people have received exactly what they thought they wanted, lots of money, the perfect mate or the perfect job, only to find that something was still missing. A Course in Miracles states, "Behind the search for every idol lies the yearning for completion. Wholeness has no form because it is unlimited." The world is constantly changing. As long as we are looking for someone else or something else to take a special form on the outside in order for us to be happy or feel love, we will constantly be disappointed. It is only by looking inside for the truth that we realize our wholeness. From this place, all desires are fulfilled. Have you ever asked yourself, "Who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose?" You know, all the big questions. This curiosity and these desires to know are all completely natural. In fact, they're built in purposely by our Creator. Even as young children, we want to know who we are and why we're here. I saw a young child in the store the other day. She was expressing desperately from the bottom of her heart, crying, "Why? Why? Why?" It didn't even matter what she was crying about. What that scene drove home for me was how deep the desire to know the truth is in all of us. To know who, what, and why. The amount of importance you place on seeking the answers to these questions influences the decisions you make. Decisions that will eventually lead your life down such a path that will allow you to fully awaken into your true self. When this is done, all questions will be answered and all desires fulfilled. Modern psychologists are understanding this more every day. Many are now saying that our mental and physical health depend on how much importance we place on seeking the truth to these eternal questions. Dr. M. Scott Peck, a psychiatrist, speaks of this in his book, The Road Less Traveled. He says, "Mental health is an ongoing process of dedication to reality at all costs. We must always hold truth to be more vital to our self-interest than our comfort. Conversely, we must always consider our personal discomfort relatively unimportant and indeed even welcome it in the search for truth."
Where can we find the truth? We turn to our religions, therapists, and all types of self-help practices and spiritual disciplines in hopes of answering these eternal questions. Most of these end up being distractions only. At best, they make us feel better while we're being distracted. At their worst, they attempt to make us feel guilty for asking such questions or for having these natural desires for love in the first place. Where does this leave us? This state is described well in the Abraham Hicks tapes. There is no greater hell than the emotion of guilt regarding something that you have done. That's how I felt. Nothing had meaning anymore. I felt empty and alone, with no purpose. The disappointment I found with the above approaches is that there is a lot of talk and ideas about how people think things really are, but no experience of it. They're not experiencing more of life for themselves, yet they're telling us how to live. It's insane. They tell us how to think, act, and feel, most of which is based on what some other person said or what some book says. It's all speculation, trial and error, and we are the guinea pigs. In my case, I saw no one as a living example lighting the way to the life I wanted. Why would anyone want to do something that has not worked and is not working for anyone else? Such teachings have become words and ideas only. Words and ideas are worthless next to experience. When we follow the advice of another, usually it's with the hope of experiencing something better for ourselves. When we see that our teachers are just mouthing words and concepts that they aren't experiencing for themselves, we lose trust in them and seek elsewhere. A Course in Miracles states, "A universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. Here alone consistency becomes possible, because here alone uncertainty ends." We will never find the answers in any belief system or doctrine. It's only a direct personal experience of the truth that will shed light on these eternal questions. This is what the Ishaya's teaching is all about, experience. Well, what is this experience? Good question. It doesn't matter where you are from, how old you are, or what kind of cultural or societal upbringing you've had, there is an experience that is the eternal, unchanging truth of who we are. It is constant for everyone. It does not change. It is a human experience, uninfluenced by age, sex, religion, or country borders. This experience has many different names depending on one's background, but the experience is universal. Some of these names are samadhi, the transcendent, the void, the Tao, and the peace that passes all understanding. Some call it the good. We call it the ascendant. Whether you want a happy, stress-free life or to expand your consciousness to the highest degree of enlightenment, what you call it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you experience it. It is impossible to adequately describe this experience using words, but this quote from Rumi begins to paint the picture.
Out beyond ideas of wrongdoings and right doings. There is a field. I'll meet you there.
The ascendant is the source. It is the field of infinite creativity, joy, love, and bliss. Lives have been completely changed, and entire belief systems have been created from just one glimpse, one tiny little taste of this universal experience that we call the Ascendant. Uniting with the Ascendant is the goal of human life. The problem has been that people can slip into this experience without knowing how they got there. Then they slip out of it without knowing how to get back. This is what the Ascension techniques address. We call them Ascension attitudes. They are vehicles that consistently take our awareness to the Ascendant, to that universal experience. With the Ascension attitudes, you will have a reliable means to experience the Ascendant whenever you choose. The more you experience this more expanded state, the more you will want to experience it. This simple choice is how we reduce stress and realize our enlightened status. Realizing enlightenment is the goal of human life.
There are two main styles of thinking in the world today. One is the esoteric philosophy of the East, and the other is the more science-based, show-me thinking of the West. The Ashaya tradition has roots in both the East and the West. We can describe this goal from both perspectives. In the Western or Judeo-Christian culture, this goal has been referred to by such phrases as praying without ceasing, salvation, and oneness with God. It was described well when a teacher named Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." That is the goal for all of us, not for just a chosen few. We were born to fully realize and live the oneness between the Creator and ourselves. When we fully realize that oneness, it's as if the small, limited part of ourselves dies, and our true self is reborn into a new life of peace, love, and freedom from separation. In the East, this goal is referred to by many words that we generally translate as enlightenment or self-realization. Enlightenment can be most easily understood by looking at its opposite, ignorance. Ignorance is the state of ignoring something that already exists. It often takes more energy to keep ignoring something than it does to recognize it. In this case, we are ignoring the simple fact that we are already enlightened, that enlightenment is our right by birth, that we need do nothing more to become enlightened than dissolve the barriers that prevent us from recognizing this fact. What has caused us to become so enmeshed in this state of ignorance? Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about how we got here, but it really doesn't serve to focus on that, nor will it help us change the situation. It's like being in the dark and searching for the cause of the darkness. This does nothing to bring in the light. What does serve is to focus on the goal. Focus on being and having, rather than wanting or why you're not having. What I want to make clear is that this is not some kind of mystical or mysterious thing that we are talking about. It's a very simple and basic part of life. Enlightenment is simply realizing our full potential, becoming fully who we are. Research shows that we only use about 10% of our DNA. It's no coincidence that it shows the same thing about our brain. What is the other 90% for? What could we or should we be doing that we're not? We are capable of such glory, yet we continue to limit ourselves by playing small. Understand, however, that this is a choice. The truth is that we are already enlightened. There are only thin barriers that keep us from realizing it. What keeps these barriers in place are the built-up and ongoing stresses in our lives. How do we remove the barriers that prevent us from recognizing and experiencing the ascendant, the truth of who we are? How can we start utilizing more of our DNA and begin experiencing enlightenment here and now? Practicing the Ishaya's ascension techniques has proven to be very effective in quickly accomplishing the above goals. While ascending, that's the term we use for practicing the Ishaya's ascension techniques, your body experiences rest that is twice as deep as the deepest sleep at night. This heals and releases the stresses that lock those barriers and limitations in place. It is this stress that distorts our perception of reality. We experience these limitations and barriers to enlightenment in the form of judgments. It is our judgments, whether conscious or unconscious, that keep us from seeing things clearly and from fully feeling and expressing our emotions. The more we ascend, the more quickly the stress dissolves and the clearer we become. From this clear state, we can more accurately perceive reality and the truth of who we are. Without judgments, we are free to let the full power of our emotions flow through us effortlessly. By separating our feelings from the ego's belief systems, we can use their powerful energy for personal growth. This is an excellent stage of progress. We can now be a more useful tool for the healing of humanity. In this state, we never hold back. We are completely open. This is true invincibility.
Emotions and DNA. I thought I was on a fast path to enlightenment, but when I first heard the idea of feeling and expressing my emotions, I cringed. I thought to myself, what do feelings have to do with enlightenment and reaching my full potential? At that point of confusion, I trusted that my teachers knew what they were talking about. I've since found that that decision to trust was one of the wisest choices I have ever made. My life is now filled with more joy and love than I ever could have imagined for myself. Why is it so important to feel our emotions? The body has built into its wondrous structure the mechanics of much subtler styles of functioning. The genetic code, for example, has encoded approximately 90% of its material with no known function in the waking state. This is one of the greatest mysteries of modern genetic research. Why, only here in the DNA, is nature, typically so ruthless in her efficiency, squandering over 9/10 of the building blocks? The answer is that these blank sections of code are only blank in the relative states of consciousness. Science is only now beginning to understand the connection between emotions and DNA. Research is showing that the vibratory frequency of our emotions passes through our cells and activates our DNA. The emotions that stem from love vibrate at the highest frequency. This means that the wavelengths of love are shorter than the wavelengths of fear, so they cross more sections of the DNA as they pass through it. At each point where the wavelength crosses the DNA strand, more of the genetic coding inside it is activated. Although fear has a lower frequency than love, feeling the emotions that stem from fear, like anger, sadness, jealousy, and unworthiness, awakens the light inside of us a whole lot faster than repressing them ever will. In essence, the more you feel, whatever those feelings might be, the more you become. What starts happening naturally as we move towards full enlightenment is that we start to feel more praise, gratitude, and love in every moment. As this occurs, the DNA starts operating in glorious new ways. This is not something that we must try real hard to do. The more we tap into the universal experience of the ascendant, the more quickly that, more expanded experience, starts to override the limited experiences of fear and guilt. We stop judging and open up to letting the emotions flow. This allows us to first feel all the locked up emotions. Then we are free to feel more love, which in turn speeds the process of awakening our DNA. Said another way, this means utilizing our full potential and bringing about full enlightenment. How do we bring more love into our lives? Love is the most powerful of all the ascending emotions. However, it can be difficult, if not impossible, to just turn on the feeling of love and then stay in that state all the time. It would be a completely different world if this were easy to do. The Ashaya's teaching starts us off with the praise technique. Praise is a choice. We simply choose to appreciate the person, place, or the situation we're in rather than criticize. What you put your attention on grows, so we simply focus on what we perceive as good or positive rather than what we think is bad or negative. Again, what you put your attention on grows. Don't believe what I say. Experience it for yourself. Look around you right now and look for things that you don't like and then criticize them. How does that feel? Now look around you for things that you appreciate and praise them. How does that feel? Neither choice is wrong. Just ask yourself, what experience do I want growing in my life? Then focus on that. There is magic in praise. What you praise automatically starts getting better. For example, if a child were to create a drawing and the parents, teachers, or classmates were to criticize it, chances are the child would repress any future desires to create in that manner and therefore stop drawing. Most children stop drawing by the age of 6 for this very reason. On the other hand, when someone's efforts are praised, the next time they perform a similar act, they remember that appreciation, feel gratitude in return, and then want to put more energy into improving what was appreciated. It's like magic. What you praise starts getting better. By focusing on what we appreciate rather than what we dislike, we naturally start to feel more gratitude. This is an important step. Praise, which is a simple choice, leads to gratitude. And as a result of that simple choice, we begin to experience more love in our lives.
The power of our thoughts. Every thought creates a universe instantly. It is our habitual thoughts that create the universe we currently experience. It's our choice what to think. How we make that choice determines how we will experience this adventure we call life. Let me tell you a story that illustrates the power of our thoughts. Carolyn Mace, a well-known medical intuitive, tells this beautiful story in her Energy Anatomy tape program. There was a woman who had been in a car accident. She had a near-death experience. During this experience, she found herself hovering over the car. While she was hovering over, she could hear the responses of the people in the cars backing up behind her. She could hear them saying, "Damn, oh damn, this is just what I need," and other similar comments. Many of them were mad and cursing her for making them late. She started feeling weaker as a result of what she heard. Then she noticed that the fifth car was filled with light. It was pouring out of the top, far into the heavens, and then being directed directly to her, and she thought, "What is that?" As soon as she asked that question, she was present. And what she heard was this woman, this perfect stranger, praying for her. Those prayers were heard instantly and sent. They were sent straight into her. What she heard this woman saying was, "I don't know who this person is, but if my prayers can help her in this moment, then I send my energy, my grace, to help this person." So she took down the license plate number of that car while she was in her near-death state. She was then called back to her body because it was not her time. She was critically injured, so it took her several months to recover, but she had that license plate number. When she recovered, she showed up at the woman's doorstep with a bouquet of flowers. "Thank you for your prayers." This woman brought a piece of heaven down to earth with just a few simple thoughts of love. This may be why some say that God is love. Whether you believe in God or not, I cannot think of a better definition. This story is a powerful illustration showing us what we think affects our external universe. But what about how it affects us, our bodies, and our internal world? When we are in a mode of appreciation, the world is lighter and a more enjoyable place to be. No longer do we do battle with our external environment. This newfound acceptance for life brings about peace in our minds, joy in our hearts, and health in our bodies. This is how life is meant to be lived. Our bodies and minds function more naturally and efficiently when they are in a state of praise. This is so because praise is our natural state. In fact, praise is the natural state of everything in creation. Listen to this tape. A recording of crickets. There are two tracks. One is played at regular speed and the other is a slowed down version. Crickets have a faster lifespan than humans do. Their sounds are slowed down to the equivalent of a human lifespan. What you are hearing are the crickets only. No instruments or voices are added. Listen. All of creation exists to praise. It is the natural state of the universe to praise. Everything in creation, the rocks, the trees, are all singing glorious hymns of praise to their Creator. Those whose senses are refined enough truly know that heaven is at hand, right here and now, all around us in plain view, waiting for us to open our eyes and see, to open our ears and hear, and to open our hearts and feel. The infinite light of the Ascendant that is inside of you is inside of everything, just waiting for you to recognize yourself. It takes a great deal of courage till you see yourself as you truly are. Are you ready to see?
As appreciation becomes more a part of our lives, we become more aligned with the natural upward current of creation. No longer do we create stress by going against the flow of nature. Life unfolds in never-ending waves of joy, love, and creativity. That's what this whole new age is all about. This is undoubtedly a time of change like never before. The poles shifting, the age of Aquarius, the frequency rising, Armageddon, the end of time, the list goes on. All prophecies about a big change point to this time, the dawn of the third millennium. What does it all mean? People have developed complex ideas and plans for predicting and preparing for this new time, but it's really not that complicated. The natural state of the universe is love. Humanity has been going against this natural state for a long time. This is the source of pain and suffering in the world. But that's the game we so eagerly agreed to play. We chose to forget our greatness. Now we are choosing to remember. What the Ashayas are interested in doing is simply this: returning humanity back to its natural state, which is love through appreciation. The whole healing of the world boils down to this simple concept. How is this done?
It all starts with a choice. Your choice. The only lasting way to make a difference in the healing of the world is to heal yourself first. That one act of realizing your enlightenment lets more love into the world, into your family and children, than any other gift you can imagine giving. No amount of money, no words of wisdom or love, no amount of hugs or toys can compare. There is no act of love greater than committing to do whatever it takes to realize your enlightened status. You can't give what you don't have. You cannot expect to rid the world of negativity when your own mind is still polluting it. Physician, heal thyself. Heal yourself, and the world will be healed as a result of that, not the other way around. By your fully expressing the light of perfection in you, you free everyone else up to do the same. Don't act small because you don't want to offend. Be the real you, a perfect child of God in every moment. Mastering this is what serves humanity most. For some, the idea of healing the world means nothing to them, and that is perfectly okay. I understand fully. We all have enough of our own problems, let alone adding a big task like healing the world to the list. Maybe your primary interest is to reduce the amount of stress in your life, or to simply feel happier. If that's the case, what can ascension do for you?
Stress fogs the natural state. It is now known to be the basis for all illness, mental and physical. Stress keeps the limiting habits and addictive behavior patterns locked in place. This can make life ineffective, incomplete, and most of all, unenjoyable. Practicing ascension not only heals the accumulated stress, it also gives you the tools to prevent stress from accumulating. Over time, the rest provided by sleep is simply not deep enough to remove all the fatigue, stress, and toxins from the previous day. We don't normally wake up feeling healthier and younger than the day before. What is required for ever-improving health and increased longevity is deeper rest than sleep. Ascension gives you this. You can ascend with your eyes open or closed. When ascending with your eyes closed, your body produces rest that's twice as deep as sleep. This allows the body to heal on a very deep level and removes the stress that is already in the central nervous system. This is a great boon to your health. Those who ascend regularly fall sick less often, and the intensity of their diseases lessens greatly. And those who ascend regularly for a year or more decrease their biological age by an average of 7 years. A 40-year-old, for example, has the biological age of a 33-year-old after 1 year of regular ascension. After 2 years, the average age reduction is 11 years. By ascending with your eyes open, you prevent stress from accumulating. In other words, it slows down the ongoing addition of stress to the central nervous system. Using the ascension techniques with your eyes open provides stability throughout the typically busy and hectic days of the modern world. We are bombarded by different energies throughout the day. Television, computers, driving, work, deadlines, all these things can cause stress. Being around other people can be a major source of stress. When we walk into a room and someone there is angry, we can feel it. Typically, the closer we are to people emotionally, the more apt we are to take on their stresses. Any of these situations can add stress to our nervous system, if we allow it. Using the ascension techniques with the eyes open allows us to move through the day unshaken by the ever-changing dramas of life. Ascension returns life to the present moment. This is where life is most effective and most enjoyable. No longer wasting energy on the past or the future, all of our awareness is free to create whatever is desired in the present. Finding stability in the ascendant, we are in the world, but not of it. This is not hiding or denying our creation. In fact, the opposite is true. Being in the moment means that we are facing life head on, with the added benefit of enjoying it along the way. You don't have to wait until you are fully enlightened to start experiencing its benefits. Ascension has the effect of instantly making life more efficient and enjoyable. Your body gets the rest it needs, thereby becoming healthier, and your mind experiences the ascendant, thereby becoming still, clear, and peaceful. Ascension provides the tools for achieving the goal of human life, enlightenment, to live in love, perfect health, joy, and peace. All these experiences, including enlightenment, are nothing new. What is new is the speed, ease, and consistency with which the Ishaya's ascension techniques deliver this experience. This is what ascension can do for you.
The next passage is from the Enlightenment Book by MSI, Maharishi Sadashiva Isham. He reintroduced the Ishaya's teaching to the world and established the Society for Ascension. He is the author of the 5 books written about the Ishaya's ascension and has trained others in the privilege of sharing this teaching with the world.
Stretch your mind with me.
Even for an instant will be enough.
Imagine, for the briefest of moments, that the ancient echo coming down to us from all lands and cultures is in fact literally true.
Dream with me for just an instant that you, I mean you, conscious being listening to this right now.
Dream that you really are born to be the master of creation. You really were created in God's own image. That all your beliefs about limitation and suffering are nothing other than a particularly cunning lie created by your own illusory ego.
Where does that leave you now?
Flying with the eagles?
Running with the lions? Swimming with the dolphins?
Uprooting trees with the elephants?
Yes, of course, and infinitely more besides, for these are among the least of the strengths in my garden.
Join with me in this magical dream, and I promise you, you will dream no longer.
All of space and time will bow down before you, for you will again remember your oneness with your Maker.
Once you have remembered you are one with the Father, Mother, God, if you order the world to move,
it will move for you.
If you request a new sun to light the sky,
it will be born for you. If you wish to create a new universe,
even this is within your power.
For when you were created in the image of your Creator. All God's strength is yours, not as some ideal fancy, but in reality, both now and forever.
And what need you do to realize this glorious truth, far beyond the power of any words to adequately describe? Only stop being someone other than who you are. Only stop turning every moment from the light of perfect silence, burning for you forever in your heart, if you acknowledge it or even remember it or not.
You need do so very little, and you will gain so very much.
Come, dance with me in the dawn of love and peace, and together we will reform the world, remaking it in the perfection of the divine plan.
All money received from courses, books, and donations goes to furthering this teaching into the world. This teaching is playing a powerful part in the healing of the planet. One at a time, more and more people are making the upward spiraling choice to praise over the constricting choice to criticize. Soon, like a room full of pendulums quickly establishing the same rhythm, the whole of humanity will be swinging to the rhythm of praise, gratitude, and love. This is how the dream is becoming a reality, one person at a time. We have the tools, and they are working fast. The hardest part is behind us. There is no need to suffer any longer. The glorious day when all experience heaven on earth is coming very soon. It is here now for those who are choosing.
We usually teach the entire introductory course, called A First Sphere, in a weekend format. Friday evening, we meet and teach you the first technique, the praise attitude. Then you'll have a chance to practice at home on your own before Saturday's class, where we'll share our experiences and go into the nuts and bolts of how ascension works. Later on Saturday, we'll teach you the gratitude and love attitudes. Then on Sunday, we'll teach the fourth technique, cognition. Throughout the class, we'll alternate knowledge with experience, giving you the background information you need to understand how and why the techniques work, with plenty of time to practice, both on your own and with the group.
For more information about the Art of Ascension, please visit the Ashaya Foundation website at www.theashayafoundation.org. Email us at contact@theashayafoundation.org or call 1-888-ASHAYA-1. That's 1-888-474-2921. To learn more about Ascension, we recommend two books written by MSI, First Thunder and Ascension. These books can be purchased from us or from your local bookstore. They are also available as ebooks on our website, as is the audio version of Ascension. If you have enjoyed this presentation, please feel free to copy it and pass it on.